yesterday about the case we said that Tuvia Harofet, Tuvia the doctor, came to Based In with his son and his freed Jewish slave. And the question was who could give testimony. And we said that he met Kohanim, maybe a Based In of Kohanim who did rulings on what happens in the Beis HaMikdash, and they said, oh no, you and your son, because you can't use an Eved, because he doesn't have Jewish Yichus, right? He doesn't have ancestry. And it says Based In, right? And then it says, but the real Based In Sanhedrin accepted Tuvia and the Eved, because you don't need Yichus. And the Eved had the same status as Tuvia being Jewish. And you asked me, how do we know this? So I couldn't find it in the Torah. So I asked Rabbi Leierfeld this morning, and he told me, look at the Mishnayos in Kiddushin, which I did. Okay? Let me read to you a Mishnah. I'm going to try to get it while I've got you on the phone. Mishnah and Kiddushin 3, Mishnah 3:13 in Kiddushin. It's one of the clearest. Okay, this is one of the clearest indications. Rav Tarfon Omer. Rav Tarfon gives the following. Yochel mamzerim letaher. A mamzer, a Jewish mamzer, can end up with non-mamzerim as progeny in a certain way. Ketzad, how does he do it? Mamzer shenasa shivcha. A mamzer marries a shivcha kenainis. He's allowed to, apparently. Because a mamzer has tainted lineage, he could marry a goyish maid servant to a Jew. He could buy himself a maid servant, and he can marry her. Okay? Right? Havlad Oved. And they have a kid. That child is when you have a child with someone who doesn't have Jewish yichus, the child goes after the mother. We know the same thing in picking a Jew. So this child now has the status of an Eved. Shachruroi, the father who fathered the child, now redeems this child. Nimsa haben ben choirin. Now this son is a free man. And he's not a mamzer, and he's not a neved, and now he can marry a Jewish woman. And you see also in Kiddushin, there's commentary that if, for example, a Jewish man owns a male Gentile slave. The Gentile slave is about to be emancipated, and he says to a lady, I want to give you Kiddushin. I want to marry you once I become freed. So it says it doesn't work because he's not yet freed. But once he's freed, it does work. So I asked the rabbi, where does it come from? Is it a halacha maisha misinai, etc.? And he didn't know offhand, neither do I. I'm going to try to look later to see what the Rambam, and if I can find the halachas of Goyisha slaves, what he says and why. But clearly, that's the principle. Once you take a Goyisha slave, male or female, and you emancipate them, they become a full Jew. But they don't have Huh? Yeah, that's the halacha. Okay. Parshas Kisavo starts with the mitzvah of Bikurim, bringing the first fruits, which is what we read about around Shavuos time as well. That's when they started to bring the first fruits to the Kohen, who's also considered the first in terms of Kohen Levi Yisroel, and to the Beis HaMikdash, which is considered the prime first place, and it's given to the very first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Medrash says. And there's a number of rules involved that I don't want to go through right now. And we also know that when Bikurim is brought, I would say, in its halachic best way, that it's not a bidieved, it's not, you know, just to be yotzeh, there's a mitzvah of mikram Bikurim. You read a parsha, and the parsha that you read is the same one we read at the Seder, Arami Oyved Avi. Right? But then you add to it and you say, and now that that happened, I am now bringing my Bikurim to for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to the Kohen there at the Beis HaMikdash. Then there's another mitzvah. So the Jewish agricultural cycle is 7 years. In the first year and the second year, you give Truma to the Kohen, Maaser Rishon you give to the Levi, and then you have Maaser Sheni, this special Maaser that's what my friend calls a gift to you. You've got to take this tremendous amount of food, take it to Yerushalayim, and have it eaten there. And you may end up making banquets, and you may invite your whole family, etc. And my friend says, it was an attempt to get you in the holy Yerushalayim for a significant amount of time, 2 out of 3 years. In the third year, rather than Maaser Sheni, you gave Maaser Ani. The second tithe was one that was given to poor people. So this happened year 1, 2, 3. Then you had year 4, 5, 6. So you had 2 of these 3-year cycles. And in year 7, you had Shemitah, the year you couldn't, right? Everything's Hefker, it's not yours. Anybody can take it. Okay? After Shemitah, right? Second. Want to see money? Okay. Which one? Right. After that, you do what we call vidui meiser. Twice in 7 years, we make the following statement. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am testifying that I have given every Maaser you wanted me to give. Truma to the Kohen, Maaser Rishon to the Levim, Maaser Sheni in the years I had to come Yerushalayim, in the third and the sixth year, Maaser Ani. It was this vidui maaser occurred on the last day of Pesach in the 4th and the 7 years of every 7-year cycle. And if you could, you did it in the courtyard, the Azorah of the Beis HaMikdash. I have cleared the holy produce from my home. I have given appropriately to the Levi, the Ger, the orphan, and the widow. I did not transgress your mitzvahs. I have not set apart mice there from one type of produce for another, which I couldn't do. And I have not forgotten, I didn't forget to make the bracha, Asher Kedishtanav and Mitzvayisav, Lahafrish Trumo Meiser, when I was giving these and I was designating these sections of my produce, I made the appropriate bracha. I have fulfilled my duties, now do you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fulfill on your part. Look down from your residence, your holiness in heaven. Give a bracha to your people, B'nei Yisroel and Eretz Yisroel, which you have given to us as you swore to our fathers, a land whose fruits are like milk and sweet like honey. Rabbi Bar Rav Chanan of Yochanan taught in the name of Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi. Look at the difference between the older generations and ours. The former generations brought in their produce through the front gates because they wished to separate maisrais. In other words, the first time that you give maaser is when you bring stuff into your, it's probably your silos, but they were open like I guess with doors, etc. However, there were technicalities, and the later generations figured out they could put the produce, bring it in through gardens and yards. They could drop them through skylights and don't do it publicly. Do this where the people in your household don't realize what's happening, because maybe the publicity makes it technically subject to maaser. And they took all these actions to evade giving maaser. And he said, what is the result? He said, diminution, right? No longer do we have the bracha. As long as the Jews appropriately kept the laws of Maaser and Truma, the fruits were abundant, they were delicious, and they had a specific wonderful aroma. When this stopped, so did the bracha. The Medrash tells a story of a guy who started off one year. He had, let's say, 100,000 bushels of grain, and he should have given 10,000. But he said, 9,000 is really enough. So he gave 9, and the next year, God only gave him 90,000. And then, he again tried to skimp. He gave, right, less, and again he got 10% of his diminished amount. And this kept going. I mean, it says he didn't get the message. Now, whether this really happened or whether it is just a metaphor, but it shows the power of, right? The other thing we're told, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, Dechanuni no bezois, test me. God said to the Jewish people, I think it's in Devarim, he said, you can test me. The one place you can test me is with Meiser. Give Meiser generously, and I will send you from the heavens the great rewards. And you can test me. You give your Meiser properly, and take a look. See if I don't fulfill my word that I'm going to give you what's appropriate, that I'm going to take care of you. And we're told by the Chachamim that this is the only place that we're allowed to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu in what's being done. Moshe then says that the goal of learning Torah, right, is to do the mitzvot. It's lassos. We are supposed to learn, to do, and teach. And he says, if we follow the guidelines which Moshe Rabbeinu has given to Klal Yisroel, we will be praised by every nation. He says, the Kodesh Baruch who promised you at Matan Torah that you are his Amskula, a cherished nation. Because you are involved in Limud Torah, in learning Torah, and you are a holy nation, I would imagine Moshe is saying one is the outcome of the other, you are going to be recognized by all the nations as supreme, and they will praise you. And Chazal tell us that it's only when the Jewish people decided to be like the other nations, that we should be no different than anyone else, as the initial Israeli leadership wanted, that's when things started going south. Anti-Semitism, we're told, was a result of the Jew not wanting to be the Jew as defined by the Torah. Okay.